Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring
Frequency, bringing the megahertz.
I'm Penance, and sometimes I can be a real witch.
Ladies, gentlemen, children of all ages, welcome to the center ring. I'm Highwire, and my life's like a three-ring circus.
Now, with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
On the cover, Sage, Frequency, and their new friend Highwire walk a tightrope over an alley teeming with people, fighting and rioting. The frothing crowd below holds signs calling for Falcon or mutants to be run out of the city. Only Highwire is steady as she crosses the tightrope. At home, high above the ground, in the center of a great spotlight illuminating the trio. Down in the corner is a special glossy sticker of the Falcon logo wreathed in flames. Embossed letters proclaim that this issue is part of the Falcon Down event.
The first page starts with one big split panel, and it shows between the three Frequency at a rally in a small basement apartment somewhere in the Bash. And we've got that editor note, you know, small basement apartment somewhere in the Bash. And of course, with all the characters, they get their little text coming like Frequency. We have Sage at home at Peacoy doing maybe looking over some books or something like that. Some just like some quiet activity. And there that has the editor's note, Pennant, and it's crossed out and it says Sage. And the third that we have is Highwire, who is currently outside on a roof with her. Do you have a cell phone communicator? How would people from the underground contact you?
Probably cell phone. She may have two cell phones.
Of course.
There's a way to get in touch with her.
Your danger cell phone is going off.
Okay.
And of course, it also, editor's note, Highwire, and it points us to the most recent non-Protean City Comics run comic that she was in.
Yeah.
And it has recently changed sides and big thumbs up emoji. Your phone is ringing.
Yes.
And the caller ID that pops up.
Yes.
Is just a lion head and a big circle for ringleader.
Okay.
And what do you do?
I answer it. I probably shouldn't, but I do.
And there's just a pause for a moment as though he's hesitating. It's like the dot, dot, dot on texting, but in real life. And we get the next panel that shows him. He's in his full costume. And has the editor's note, ringleader, Sam Carter, Highwire's ex, editor's note, it's complicated. So the next panel shows ringleader, and he's in his full costume, which has some definite similarities to Highwire's, because they used to be themed costumes together.
Yes.
And he's got a shorter jacket, and any other differences with it? I know you mentioned that.
He's got kind of a little bit, they both have a little gold accents, but his is kind of more so across the whole chest. And they have costumes that are too close to mistake them as not being connected to each other, but they are still individual costumes.
Cool. Yeah, perfect. So he's 17 years old. He's black. He's wearing that full bright villainy costume, but he's got a sort of a black cloak just tossed over it for now because he's doing some stealthy stuff. And even circus-themed villains aren't going to be so extra that they're just glitzing around because there's too many lights in Protean City.
Yes.
So he answers the phone and says, hey, are you busy?
Depends on what you need me for.
So this is going to start off sounding bad and it's going to sound better. Okay?
Okay.
I need you to help me break into an apartment to steal some files and hold on.
Hey.
It's so that I can see about fixing things.
Fixing what?
You know how you kind of, you know, well, tiger can change its stripes, right?
Are you talking about switching sides? Are you actually thinking about this?
I'm setting things up. I can't switch sides until I get some materials expunged.
I could talk to Hermosa Vita. We could try to do this not illegally.
No, this will be better. This will do it permanently. This will make sure. I got an in. I set this up. This is a chance.
Where do you need me to be?
On the next page, we're back in the basement in the Bash.
Mm-hmm.
And Frequency, you're there as part of the whole, you know, mutant revolutionary group making the decision to no longer be controlled by Falcon.
Yep.
And that's never easy.
No, it's not.
Who are you there with? Are you there with your gang, with your siblings?
Definitely the rest of the gang is okay. There. Elias and Faye are there with me. You know, the supercomputer is set up. Probably the siblings are there also.
Okay.
Because right now, the gang is just sort of this gang that I have. Ben's not crazy about it,
mm-hmm.
but the siblings are the ones pushing to be like, join the revolution.
Yeah.
Come on, you all can do this.
Yeah. So just to make sure we've got all those characters, everyone knows who everybody is. We have Faye, who is a mutant phaser.
Correct.
We have Elias, who has two heads.
Two heads.
And big dude, right?
Big dude.
Yeah.
Likes to say two heads are better than none.
Nice. And that catchphrase has come up in many episodes. Editorial note, it hasn't. And upload and load out your... Are they twin siblings? I don't remember. They're not. No.
No.
Upload and load out your siblings, like similar hair color, skin color, everything like that. But and also both technopaths of some kind.
Yes.
So all of you are hanging out in your base. And the computer is pulled up with what you've been working on. And load out kind of takes a pen and flicks it at the back of your head. The stream's coming on. They're making an announcement for the next plan. I think we should tune in.
All right, fine. Let me throw it up on the main screen, throw it on the speakers. And just without, like, touching any buttons or anything, just everything just happens, because it's kind of awesome.
Yeah, conspicuously so.
Yeah.
I'm really making sure, like, hands maybe behind the head.
Yeah. Couple LEDs flash here and there.
Nice.
Editor's note says that's not actually part of the computer. It's just Frequency being flashy when he does stuff.
Perfect. And we get a couple panels that show the group kind of just like gathering around a little closer. Not because they have to. You've got a nice big monitor. But just because that way we get the light reflected on their face. Mm-hmm. And that's just such a good look. And the stream that they're doing... It shows Hermosa Vita and Crackdown. Now, Hermosa Vita is a plant empath. She's a mutant, and she's kind of been leading the mutant revolutionaries after Falcon's base, where they were illegally incarcerating a whole bunch of mutants, was shut down. Crackdown he's a non-mutant, but he has been working really tightly with her for quite a long time. They're two of Los Caballeros del Calle, which is like a big superhero team in the Bash that's gotten themselves into a lot of trouble a bunch of different times in the past. And I'm not going to go through word for word on this because it doesn't, like, you know, comic medium, better for having the big word bubble. But Hermosa she's up there in front. She's in kind of like not quite a military thing. There's a lot of leather and like very like firm, strong exterior being shown. And she's saying, and we get like a couple of panels that just show like discussion and things going on. And then she says, but when it comes down to it, there's only one solution. We have to get Falcon out of this city once and for all. We have to strike. And as mutant kind, we are going to strike now. Tonight, we take the Bash. No Falcon will be allowed inside. Anyone who is, we capture, we hold, and we get rid of them. Then we move out, continue taking the city. We have to stop them. And she, there's like some clamoring and applause, because of course the people that are in that room are the ones who are most in it. And the feed drops, and it's just like a big mutation symbol with yellow light on all of your faces. What do you do?
Why does it have to start here in the Bash? Why does it have to be us first?
Upload is in on this. He's always really gung-ho. And so he like claps you on the shoulder and he says, because that's where there's the least police presence. Like, if there's a place in the city we can take over and hold, it's the Bash.
I know, it's just like, it's one thing to be talking about it, but now it's starting. I'm nervous. I don't know. This sounds like it's going to get serious. Like, what if Falcon like comes in, you know, meaning business? People are going to get hurt.
And Loadout kind of turns herself to put herself a little bit between you and your couple of assistants, so that Upload can like kind of just sit down with you, and he gets a hand on your shoulder and he says, yeah, people might get hurt, but what they were doing, that's not okay. And we have to show them that it will never be okay. And like, we wouldn't have set you into this position and helped you get to here if we didn't think you were capable. You can be a fist for the revolution. And he's trying to shift your labels.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he's trying to raise your danger and lower your mundane.
Ben's going to accept that.
All right, cool.
As someone who really doesn't care what others think, he's going to accept that.
Aw.
Aw, brotherly love.
Cool, so that shifts your danger to a zero and your mundane,
and
to
mundane to a minus one.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Okay, you're right. We need to change. We can't let them keep doing this, but we need to do it right. We need to, if we're starting this off, we need to set an example. We need to make sure we do this the right way, the good way.
See, this is why we said you should be in charge of a cell. And the last panel just shows Frequency's face. What's on his face right now?
I think it's probably not super pulled in tight on his face. You can probably see like the others in the background. They probably look very gung-ho and ready to go. There is just a look of dread on Ben's face. He knows he has to do this. He will, but he's not in love with the idea.
Perfect. Sage.
Yeah.
What are you doing this evening as
blah, 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 blah.
Jesus. Words are hard.
Words are hard to do. It's hard to make things nice.
Sage, you still don't have your powers back.
Correct.
You've been doing some superheroing.
Mm-hmm.
What are you up to tonight? And we can see through your window, and I guess we actually already saw from Highwire that it is nighttime.
Okay. I have questions.
Yeah.
What night of the week is this? If it's during the week, I have to babysit, so I'm probably at Peekway.
I love that. Okay. So yeah, let's say it's during the week.
Okay. So I'm at Peekway. Is Lunar Lens aware of the stream that's going on with Hermosavita, because they used to be tight and I don't know what their relationship is still like?
Yes, absolutely. You'll remember from volume 17 that Firefly identified that she was sent by Hermosavita.
Right. So is Lunar Lens aware of the stream that's going on?
I'm sorry. I thought you meant like in terms of... No, she is not.
Okay.
She was not clued into that.
So I'm babysitting to the best of my ability, working on my books. Lens is probably in her study, and my job is just to keep the kids out of the study while she's working. And since Ben isn't around now, he's like, he he's kind of become like kind of a flake since he got these like cronies or whatever. He's just not around as much. It's kind of sucks. Babysitting used to be fun when he was around, and now he like leaves me here by myself because I don't have powers. So yeah, I'm just like making Rice Krispie treats with the kids. It's okay. A hot mess. Like, nice. It's everywhere.
Rice Krispie treats all over the place.
I have marshmallow in every part of my hair. And like the one kid, the orphan that's covered in fur, like, he's a mess. I feel so bad. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do to get this all out.
You've got a recent fire elemental kiddo. He's like 6 years old, and he's throwing pieces in the air and going snap, crackle, and then exploding them in the air, which is just making things worse.
Jason, I need you to stop. Stop it. Stop it.
But this from the commercial.
No, this is bad behavior, and don't make me go get Lens. Don't make me.
And at that point, there's like are there security systems that would let you know if someone was approaching the building before they got up there?
100%.
Okay,
yes.
Those are going to go off before someone gets to the door.
Okay.
So there's, what does that look like?
So Frequency set it up so that there's multiple levels, but they're all colored LED lights. Because this is Rob we're talking about, so of course it's colored LED lights. So is everything okay?
I had a second that I thought that I'd unplugged this.
No, that would be bad.
And I was like, oh no.
So
my phone being unplugged is okay. That's probably for the best.
There's lights all around like the house, kind of in the molding, like in the crown mm-hmm. molding or whatever. And they'll go off to alert us of somebody walking up.
Okay.
And so they're just kind of flashing blue. It's not scary.
It's not meant to scare the little kids.
Right. It's not meant to scare them. It's in lieu of a doorbell, because sometimes a doorbell can be scary. So they're just kind of blinking lights to alert us that somebody's coming.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, you guys clean this mess up. I have to go get the door. You stay here. Otherwise, I'm going to go get Lens. Like, don't make me.
And the little furry kid is just like shoveling the food into his mouth. Oh, and his cheeks are just getting bigger. Like, he's got huge literal chipmunk cheeks going on. He's probably got like 3 cups of the mix in his mouth right now.
I will deal with you later. And I'm going to walk toward the door.
Okay. There's no way you don't have a camera outside the door.
Oh, yes.
So,
and many, many, many locks, like sophisticated locking mechanisms.
Yeah. So in the monitor, you can see that Striped Eagle Mark II, the second Striped Eagle, like not the old retired mm-hmm, woman, mm-hmm. is standing outside. She's in her full Striped Eagle uniform.
Oh, no.
But her helmet is held underneath her arm. So you can see, because of that, that she's a young Korean woman with an undercut.
We don't have the best relationship, me and SE2.
No,
so
you don't.
It's been tense in past. So like I'm gonna like puff up my chest a little bit and just get ready, because she doesn't know I don't have powers. Or no, she does now. So I'm gonna like puff up and try to do my best to look intimidating, because like I'm not a huge fan of her.
Yeah.
And I'm going to open like the sliding thing on the door, not the actual door, and be like, oh, okay, hello. What are you doing here?
Oh, Sage. Hi. I'm sorry to bother you at night, but we've got, there's kind of a situation going down.
We who? What's the situation? Like Falcon?
Like Falcon. She kind of like looks inside as though asking, like, should I come in?
I don't like Falcon.
She grimaces and says, yeah, that's going around. Listen. Can I trust you?
Can I trust you?
Probably not.
Awesome. Please hold. And I'm going to close the slidey thing, and I'm going to press the button on the door that there's a weapons scanner like thing. So I'm going to press the button, and there's like this giant like scan that comes. And it goes and like scans her for weapons. Does she have any?
she is covered in weapons. Her entire suit is a weapon. Like, she's got the Iron Man style blasty things. She's got wings that flick out to the sides now that you can see on the scan. She apparently has like a couple of like stun batons attached to her back these days. She's got three knives in her boot. Like,
this is going well.
She is armed to the teeth.
I'm gonna open the thing back up and just, this is like Wizard of Oz when the guy opens the door and opens the little thing and he's not gonna actually open the door. So I open the little slidey thing again. Okay, I'm gonna need you to either lose all of those weapons before I let you enter a home with a bunch of vulnerable children, or you're gonna have to wear a taser that I get to remotely operate if you misbehave.
She takes one of her gauntlets and puts it on her chest, and it just, like, you see things just depower. And she, like, it kind of transformers open, and she just, like, steps out of it and taps the front of it again, and it, like, just shuts. So there's just a suit of armor standing at the door, and she just, like, gestures down to herself, and she's wearing, like, a Falcon jumpsuit, but there's no, a scan will show she doesn't have any weapons anymore.
Excellent. Good choice. I'm going to open the door.
All right. So when we rejoin Highwire, she's up in the pinnacle area of the city, which is it's up north. It's kind of like the richest area. It's lots of money. People, the movers and shakers live there.
Yep.
And you're up on top of a building with Ringleader.
Yes.
I think you've probably just arrived. Like, what is your cool arriving? Because, I mean, like, reformed villains, you got to have like a cool arrival stance of some kind.
She has probably like backflipped into place and it's completely unnecessary, but she totally has.
Yeah.
And is just has kind of just landed there and is looking at him like, okay, what is happening now?
And these panels start off at least showing them like really far apart from each other.
Yeah.
Like, you know, talking across the building because that's important. Highwire, thanks for coming down.
Ringleader, thanks for calling me.
Listen, I'm sure you're busy. I know you've got a lot going on right now. So we can just kind of get this done.
We always worked better together, so what do you have in mind?
All right. You see that apartment building up there? Any points? And it's like four stories up from the building that you're on, and it's like, let's say 60 feet away. It's over a big, like, big highway. There's, like, a couple of power lines and stuff like that, but not really connecting things. It would not be easy to get across.
Yeah.
And he says, the guy who lives in there is a geneticist. And he's got a whole bunch of files and papers that my employer would like to get their hands on. And if I can get that, then I can maybe join you on the side of right.
Okay, first question, who's your employer? Because that's always the most important one when we're dealing with whatever this is.
Listen, I thought that you were going to come and help me out with this. If this is going to become like some kind of interrogation, then, you know, I can handle this on my own.
Sam, I'm not interrogating you. If you want me to help, you got to be honest with me.
I think at this point, you're probably trying to pierce his mask. You're trying to get some information and work things out, which is a roll with mundane.
That's an 8.
All right. Awesome. On a 7 to 9, you get to ask one from the list.
I'm going
to
ask, what are you really planning?
He is really planning to steal these. And I think with that, I feel comfortable giving you the additional information on that one, because that does, like, I think that works out.
What is he really planning?
Yeah. He definitely has more than one step in this, because of course he does. He's going to steal these files, deliver them to his employer, which is Falcon, and then probably spend some time trying to reintroduce himself in a way that is disconnected from previous crimes. Now, he's not on the verge of going good. This is a step that would probably be helpful for him if he were trying to go straight and narrow. His heart's not into it.
So I know that his employer is Falcon based on like.
Yeah, he there's some additional panels that have like a little bit of discussion where you're kind of like putting pressure on him and he like accidentally reveals something and you're able to figure him out pretty quickly.
Okay.
You know this guy.
I would hope so. So I'm just going to be like, you're working with Falcon. Really? Really?
I thought you'd be happy.
It's complicated. Everything is complicated right now.
I mean, yeah, sure. Things are complicated right now, but like they've gotten in with the Justice Department and like I've got a couple warrants on my head. How am I supposed to go out there doing good work with those floating over me? I mean, I'm sure they could get yours cleared too. It can't be fun having to run away the second the cops arrive.
True. True. But a geneticist, really? That's a little beyond us. Whatever that is, Falcon getting a hold of that can't be great.
I mean, I don't know, just some research, I guess. It's like, I don't know what Falcon has planned, right? But as far as I can tell, they can do me this, you know, kind of huge solid. This is not the first time we've busted into someone's apartment to take something.
Yeah, but I've been trying to not do that.
And you're not going to get caught. This is easy.
And she really wants him to be good. This is really all, that's like all she really wants right now.
Back in the bash, once the stream went on, a like countdown was put up to let the different cell groups gather their resources, get ready to lock down this area of the city. And let's say there's 10 minutes till lockdown. What are you up to, Frequency?
If we have 10 minutes to go, I have probably assembled the crew to go over the plan.
Yeah.
This is probably one of those things where everyone knows the plan.
Yeah.
We've known about the plan for a long time, but this is the no nonsense. We are going to go over every step of the plan because even though we all know it, that's what we're going to do.
Yeah. You've been kind of, so it sounds like you've been getting things together. You've been trying to make sure everybody has their head in the right space and everything.
Heads.
All four people and five heads. Five people and six heads.
Yes.
You have a head too.
That's the correct number.
Yeah. So you've got everybody kind of ready and mobilized to jump into whatever the plan is. But because they're worried about, you know, infiltration and things like that, they haven't given you the information of what you need to do.
Mm.
Now you're getting it.
Okay.
So you receive a message that says that you have two big tasks. One is that there's a radio tower near the edge of the bash that just a cell tower that they want to get full control of. And so they want people to go in and take this space.
Okay.
There shouldn't be a lot of people there right now, and you might be able to just do it with your powers. That's part of the reason that you were given this task.
Mm-hmm.
And you've also got Upload and Loadout, who are pretty tech savvy themselves. The second task is that you are to get to Peacoy and bring the mutant children someplace that they'll be safe from Falcon.
Oh, okay.
And bring them to the bash.
Okay. I was expecting, like, go get the mutant children and bring them and add them to our forces.
No, no.
And I was like, oh boy.
This is not a child soldier situation. This is definitely a get them somewhere safe.
Yeah. I would fight, but okay.
Because they know that the second that you would lock down the bash, there's going to be repercussions for mutants that are not in the bash.
And as far as this cell tower, radio tower, definitely a physical, we're taking control of it. Is it we are taking it over to be able to listen into all communications, or we're taking this over and blocking Falcon from using that?
The implication is that it's blocking Falcon from using that.
Perfect.
You could specifically contact people further up to see if they can give you more information on that.
Okay.
But it's like, the idea is shutting down Falcon's ability to deal with them.
Okay. Okay.
So the message comes in. I think we see you receiving the message probably on your phone, just so it isn't broadcast to everybody because you're in charge. You don't want everyone under you to always know everything.
Yep. But as soon as it comes in, I immediately just send that to each person's...
whoop, whoop, whoop.
Yeah, that's pretty much what, like, it looks like someone like shuffling cards out, but just phew, 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 phew. Do a little panache.
And the next panel shows all of these millennial and Gen Z mutants looking at their phones, just buried in it as the yep. revolution starts. Yeah,
exactly. Yep. Okay. So looks like we've got two primary objectives here. First thing we need to do, take control of that cell tower out on the edge of the bash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I almost said block. Don't know what I'm thinking. Get the cell tower, take control. And then the second thing we have to do is all the kids at Pequoy. We need to get them somewhere safe.
And there's some nods of agreement. You know that Faye used to be at Pequoy before she didn't quite age out. She just left.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like they're like ready to go. They're just looking for the direct. And actually, I think Elias specifically says, so who's going where? And one of his heads goes, I'll take the cell tower. And the other says, I'll take Pequoy.
Oh, boy. Time to make decisions. I am a leader. I am a leader. I'm not actually saying this, though.
maybe a thought bubble.
Yeah. I'm going to head to the radio tower.
Okay.
With upload and loadout.
Okay.
And then... they don't really have fancy superhero names because they're not superheroes. But
yeah.
Faye and Elias are going to head to Pequoy.
Sounds good.
Frequency looks up. Ben looks up at them and says, before we head out and do this, I know you're excited for this. Some of you, most of you are excited for this. We need to set an example. We are doing this because Falcon, in my mind at least, isn't terrible. They just don't get everything right the first time they try. And they make mistakes, and they've made too many. We can't afford to make those mistakes. We need to set an example for the rest. We need to do this right for our own sakes.
Awesome. I wish so much that there was a move for that, but I think there actually isn't. But so
it's just a natural 12.
It's just a natural, whatever the move automatic is. 12. Are you going to avoid their blows? and we get a final panel that shows all of them like nodding and starting to get ready. Loadout, needless to say, has a cool vehicle for you to jump into to get over there. And Faye just grabs Elias's hand and just like pulls him through a wall with her to start heading towards Pequoy. And we cut to Pequoy, conveniently enough. So she's come inside. Are you sitting at a kitchen table?
Nah.
No? Where are you chatting with her?
Awkwardly standing in like the main foyer.
Nice.
Not inviting her any further into the home than perfect. I can.
Nice.
So what's up? Why are you here?
We got wind that a major action might be coming down the line from one of the mutant groups. And we're concerned about the safety of the kids here.
I'm going to need more information. Where did you get this information? Who's coming for the kids? And what kind of horrible person is going to come after a group of kids?
And like she's reaching up and like rubbing at her head. You can see that she's trying to like... It is not easy for her to go against... To do things not with direct supervision.
Mm-hmm.
But she says... I can't tell you who my source is because they've been undercover for a while and they'd be in a lot of danger. I can tell you that Hermosa Vida and the rest of them, they're planning on taking the kids. I don't know what their plan is with them. I just know that's not right. And I know that if they try, Falcon's going to stop them.
Falcon will stop them, but we have our own security measures in place. I mean, have you met Lunar Lens? She's legit. And I'm here. And they're going to have a hell of a time getting past us. But I appreciate you coming here. And I am not the most equipped to make this decision. So we're going to go talk to Lens. We're going to go up to her study. And I'm going to yell over to the group of kids who has just, like, the kitchen beyond repair at this point. It is just a marshmallow madness place. And I just look over and I'm like, I will be right back. You stay here. And I'm going to make sure the door is locked and we're going to go upstairs to Lens's study.
And when you get to the study, there's a note just sitting on her desk. And it says, Sage, I know you were concerned about the appointed, so I'm doing some digging. I'm sure that you're going to be able to handle things tonight here at the house. Oh my God. And there's a very good chance that you won't even see this note. But know that I am proud of you and you're doing a phenomenal job. Lens.
Many things happen at one time. First, her eyes well up with tears, partially of fear and frustration, partially of, oh my God, she's proud of me, oh my God.
I think she might even be shifting your labels, actually. I think she's raising your superior and lowering your danger.
Reject, reject, reject.
Get out of here, Lens is my everything. Except.
Except, cool.
Wait, what was it?
Lower danger, raise savior.
Yeah. Oh no, my savior can't go up anymore.
Okay, so you can mark a condition or reject. And so what that sometimes can look like.
I'm gonna mark insecure.
Exactly. Perfect. So why do you mark insecure?
Because the other thing that's happening is that there's like this big bubble, like a speech bubble on the panel that's just fuck, 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 fuck. And then like they get smaller and smaller and smaller as the text bubble because she's just like freaking the hell out. And I'm going to read the note, not show Striped Eagle the note, and turn around very matter-of-factly trying to mask all my feels.
And we get a panel that shows you like having all of these emotions. And Striped Eagle is just leaning against the doorway in like a very noir femme fatale sort of look.
Yeah.
Well?
So, turns out I am going to handle this, and I need more information. Do you know when or how or any information that might be useful in defending us against this threat?
Tonight, we've got a safe house 2 blocks from here.
I don't need your safe house. We have every security measure here that we could possibly need, and I feel much safer here than in a Falcon base. No offense.
Speaking of security measures. Hi, Highwire.
Hi.
Give us the panel that shows you getting into the apartment.
So we have gotten onto the roof of the building that we are trying to get into, and we have kind of rappelled down the side of the building to get to the floor that we need to be on to break into that window. And Highwire looks over to him and kind of like gives him a nod. And he probably has some sort of gadget or something that can get us in through this window without causing too much of a ruckus.
Nice. I'm trying to think of a good circus prop for that to be.
It doesn't have to be too aggressively circus.
It could totally be silks. They're quiet and strong.
I kind of maybe a silk with like a razor wire inside of it. And he kind of just like moves it around the outside and like it, the glass starts to fall down and he just like catches it within the silk.
Yes. Yes. and then we gracefully climb in through the window, or at least I do. He may be slightly less graceful, but
yeah. And at that point, he holds up a hand and says, wait. He's got motion trackers on the ground. The office is just down that hallway a little bit. Take a right. We need the third drawer filing cabinet. Just the first 2 files. They're big manila envelopes, but you've seen the floor is lava skills. Yeah. And I think that it's more your area of expertise.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I mentioned before, but his specialty was kind of tech and everything. So,
oh, perfect.
So, she's going to look at him and be like, are you going to even try to shut any of this down?
Yeah, I'll shut it. Just give me a second. And he kind of like climbs onto a couch and is like awkwardly walk. He's slick enough, but like to you, you can see. We may even get a panel that shows like you like measuring his like precision, going like he's not balanced. He's gonna and he like almost falls, gets over to like a security box and starts tampering with it.
Okay.
And did you have communicators?
Between the two of us?
Yeah.
Probably. Probably didn't throw that out.
Yeah.
Probably should have. Probably didn't.
Good decisions abound.
Feels.
He was a good boyfriend. He just made bad choices to be a villain.
So are you heading in?
Yeah. She's going to let him work on that and hope that he gets that done for when they're trying to leave. But in the meantime, she is going to do some complicated circus-looking backflip nonsense. She could, you know, just step over things, but is probably being more extra about it than she would necessarily need to be because comics and circus.
I'm going to have you roll to unleash your powers. Yep. This seems like something that will be very much within your capabilities, but there's slightly more security than he realized.
That's a 6.
Mark potential.
So yes, you get to mark potential. You're moving well and like doing cool backflips and everything is very slick. And there's like just one moment where your foot comes down on a desk just a little bit harder than you intended it to be. And so it doesn't set off any alarms, but there's like a thump.
Okay.
You hear someone stirring in the other room, and over the communicator, you hear ringleader say, hey, alarm is shut off, so I was able to block the call. The window won't be a problem. Have you got the files?
Getting there. Working on it. So where
so yes, am you're in the office. You're in the office. You're right next to the filing cabinet. It's getting this is child's play.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I get it.
It's child's play.
Okay. But and, when I take the file out, I do look at what it is.
Okay.
I glance down to, like, I don't have enough time to rifle through it, but I give it a quick look over.
Yeah. It is a bunch of basically demographic information that has like lists of mutations. It seems like this guy has been doing a lot of study of mutation, and maybe even because he has files saying who are some of the known mutants, like some of the unknown mutants in the city. Like that there's a city council member that nobody knows is a mutant. And so like that first file is a bunch of things like that. Like celebrities that have mutations, stuff like that. The second file is a file with information on a bunch of schools, including Pequoy, and like what mutations the different students there have.
So not bad. Cool.
This is very not cool. This is very problematic.
And as you're reading through that file, so an older man like comes around the corner. He's wearing like fluffy pajamas and he sees you down the hallway and he's a gray-haired man. It looks like he might be Italian. And he just kind of looks down the hallway at you and is squinting and says, what are you doing? What do you do?
She is going to have a moment of panic. And in a moment of panic, is going to fall back on some of her villain training and is going to very quickly take off her hat and out of her hat pull a knife and throw it at him as an attempt to kind of like she's trying to aim to like cut his sleeve or something to kind of like it would be like to pin him to a wall, but she does not have enough time to really think that through and attempt anything that complicated.
Okay.
So it's like a warning shot, but you know, with a knife. Yeah, that's a great plan.
This is an old sleepy man without his glasses. You cut right through the pajamas and how good are you? Can you avoid cutting him or is this going to cut him?
It would probably cut him a little bit. Not too bad.
Yeah.
She's good, but she is startled and panicking.
And he stumbles back and he's holding his arm and like lets out like a wail of pain. And down the hallway, you see Ringleader and he's looking at you and going, "We need to get out of here now."
Obviously. Run.
Okay. And we get a shot that just shows the two of you just like jumping out the window into space. Because that's rad.
Yeah.
And
we look fabulous.
And you look fabulous. Yeah. Yeah. Black coat is off. Like he's full on bright colors and everything.
Yes.
And the next panel shows the two of you standing on a rooftop and you've got the files.
How and we survived that jump, no one needs to know.
No one needs to know.
Yeah. We just did.
Yeah.
We're good at what we do.
And he has his cell phone out. And he's like, "Okay, great. Thank you." And I mean, like, I can talk to them. We can get your file expunged too.
Sam, do you know what you were sent to go get?
Files from some scientist guy.
Sam, this is a registry of every mutant in the city. That's not good.
I mean, like, yeah, but okay. Helps us out, though. It could give us a chance. It could give us a chance. And he's, like, moves in closer. He's reaching either for your hands or for the files. It's hard to tell which.
And you know I want that, but we can't just screw over the entire city just so that this can work.
What has this city ever done for us? Like, what has this city ever done for the circus people, the people that are working? Like, you know, like, we're not part of their pretty little system. They don't have anything that helps us. We've built everything we've got.
What's a circus without an audience?
We get that panel, and it zooms out and shows more of the buildings and zooms out more and shows more. And we see the, like, kind of all of Protean City. And the area of the bash starts just lighting up. There's, like, every light is on in the bash. And, like, there's activity and movement. And we see people streaking through the sky towards the bash, towards Peacoy. And there's just a voice over it.
"They have the files. I'm going to go get them from them if they can't deliver."
And then another voice, a woman's voice, says, "No, let me talk to them first. I'm sure they're willing to come along and work with us." And we get a panel that shows, in front of this big screen that shows all of Protean City, the director in his full suit, all stately and in control, and Lunar Lens.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter at Dr. Captain Cobalt. Highwire is played by our special guest, Emily Buza, from Whelmed, the Young Justice Files podcast, and she can be found on Twitter at Emily of Arden. Frequency is played by Rob Harvey, who can be found on Twitter at rharvey1211. Penance is played by me, Elspeth Dedman, and I can be found on Twitter at The Cat on the Wall. The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.